Session number 12812.
Reel 5. And the reel 5.
When we got together, as I say, there was no conversation. There was nothing to be said. Just this awful sense of loss, even though you weren't as close as all that. Conditions didn't allow you to lead a normal, close relationship, I suppose. There is one feeling you had, and each and every one of them had it. Thank God I'm here. Then you get a sense of elation when it really sinks in, mixed with the awfulness of what had happened. I looked at some of those lads. We'd all grown up. It was no longer effing this and effing that. This was for real, you know. But this wonderful sense of having survived, you know. Then came the clean-up. Well, the only thing one could do was get back to Murmansk as soon as we could. Luckily, the engines were not affected, and whilst we couldn't make too much speed, we did get to Murmansk. I had the job of getting rid of the wounded, but here again, as I say, the responsibility of bodies is that of the jaunty, the master-at-arms. It's one thing I learnt there. I'd felt that being sick berth attendant, I was responsible for everything. They're all mine until they disappeared. But thank God, I couldn't have done it, you see. You really, when you have limited resources, you've got to be responsible for those that are alive. And even the transferring of those that were injured became the prerogative, provided I'd made sure that they were dressed, their wounds were dressed as well as they could, or they were in a Neil Robertson stretcher and things like that. And the Master Tarms was responsible for them. I did visit them in hospital after that. There was a run-down hospital in Pollyanna, was it, or wherever it was, the naval base there, and made sure they were all right. But there was a sick berth staff, Navy staff there, and they assumed responsibility for everyone. I saw the captain there just to pay my respects and ask him. I felt, as I hadn't treated him, I don't think I even saw him till I saw him in hospital, because the captain was escorted ashore by the medical officer. I was responsible for the ratings. He seemed grateful that I'd paid my respects, and that's the last I saw him. I believe they flew him home. I saw the lads who were injured. They were all right. Went back to the ship, and the Russians wanted to push us ashore for the time the ship was being repaired. A woman engineer from the Russian Navy had come down, or the Russians anyway, to assess the damage and make arrangements for it to be repaired. But when we saw the quarters that were being given us ashore, all the lads decided to muck in and make do where they were, no matter how uncomfortable or dirty the ship was, you know. So we all went back aboard.
What were the quarters ashore?
I can't remember too much about them. I remember there were two or three rooms and a big wooden stove in the middle. And I remember black bread. Terrible stuff. Oh, and yak. We had yak. Reindeer, I suppose it would be. Completely foreign to the English taste, you know.
Is this Murmansk or Pollyanna?
Murmansk. Oh, Pollyanna it would be, that's right. Yeah. It's the naval base of Murmansk. I think a mile or two down the coast. I do remember, too, the ship was being repaired. We got communications. And I had been collecting records I got, one or two, I think. I have one, oh, Mick has them upstairs. Ina Kleiner Nachtmusik was one. Beethoven's Emperor Concerto was another. And for a lark, we got the radio people to rig up a turntable to the loudspeakers on the upper deck. And we were playing my records to the Russian dockies on the ship's side. We were playing German music, but there we are. I remember that.
What impressions of life ashore in Russia did you get?
Yes, we went ashore. Snow everywhere. A typical Arctic bit of a town with some stone buildings. The tenement blocks were not tenements. They were communal living quarters. You'd get three or four rooms with a big central stove where people lived in these rooms. A primitive form of central eating, because the temperature was well below. The guards at the bottom of the gangway had only 20 minutes watch, because your heels went numb. You got danger of frostbite, you see. And everything was covered in snow. We were entertained to some sort of a variety show. It wasn't much. I think there was a choir and a bit of a band in a sumptuous building, seating, I think, about 2,000 people, with communist slogans everywhere, red flags and what have you, you know, praising the communist regime. General atmosphere of typical what we'd call communists. There's only one place I'd be more miserable in, and that was when we went to China. An atmosphere. Funny. When you come from a free country, the atmosphere itself is free. But you go to a country like China or in Russia, you have this overpowering sense of authority. And no matter how you try, you just can't get rid of it. And conformity to a free soul is terrible. You just want to rid yourself. Anyway, we were in Russia for about 5 or 6 weeks, and she was repaired, patched up. Luckily, the engineering works were good, and we left with the next convoy coming back, WJ convoy or something, the opposite number, opposite way around. And after we'd been at sea, there didn't seem to be too much chance of, certainly no chance of surface action. Little did we but know that the Barents Sea was the last real foray to sink a convoy, apart from when they sank the Scharnhorst. But the we met the Deutschland, which was the Lützow. She was originally launched to Deutschland, but Hitler changed her name to Lützow. He couldn't stand the idea of Germany, Deutschland, being sunk, so he changed it to Lützow. And the Hipper, it was the Hipper that hit us, and some M-class destroyers. So after three or four days of return with this convoy, we put on full speed and got back as soon as we could. And it was wonderful, that, because it was, we arrived in Sapa in a winter's afternoon, early summer, well, summer like that, whenever it was. I know it was daylight, and the sun was shining, and we had orders to steam through the fleet. This is a unique honour, because any ship that's given orders by the Commander-in-Chief to steam through the ship in review, it's quite an honour. And this we did, and as we passed all the big ships, the bands had been mustered on A or B turret forward. And they were playing Hail the Conquering Hero Comes. Quite something.
When you were in Murmansk, did the Russian people seem grateful for the work of the Arctic convoys in bringing supplies to them?
You must realise this. In Britain, fired up in a warlike way, even though defensive, as you asked me about the Blitz on Plymouth, how people felt and what signs there were, if any, of unrest or anything like that, we are different than the Russians, especially the Russians under circumstances in which they were living, well within the Arctic Circle, 200 miles from the front line, that was Norway, constantly being bombed, although not blitzed, but certainly being bombed regularly, in conditions which did not lend itself, like it would in England, to gathering on the streets and things like that. Existence was the name of the game. That's not to say they weren't patriotic. On the contrary, the slogans everywhere and the statues of Lenin ensured that the spirit of communism was always maintained. Language difficulties, you got little or no chance to fraternise. Even the sick birth attendants I met in the little hospital in Poliano didn't seem to have any chance of fraternising in the least. It's nothing like coming into Plymouth. Anyway, with the front line 200 miles away and that sort of thing, and the whole area was under military rule, you see.
Was there any exchange of goods or gifts between English and
Russians?
No,
none at all. Only the necessary supplies of black bread and yak when necessary. We did have one or two of the American ships in the convoy. Of course, we didn't. I don't think we lost any ships on that convoy. I think they all got through. A couple of the American merchantmen sent a load of chickens to us. I remember that, with thank you notices for having got them safely through. And chicken in those days was a